Ready to go? All right. All right, so today, as requested, Sister Barbara had asked that we do one of our teachings for the first session, that we would do it on prayer, and I elected to put it in here so we would have it on video for her. So we're going to look at prayer as much as we can in one session. So there'll be things that we won't be able to look at, but we're going to look at prayer, a dispensational matter. It's important to understand that prayer is a dispensational issue, if you will. And so let us pray. We'll start by praying this morning. And then we're going to look at some verses, some scriptures, some comparisons, and we're going to make some points here according to the word of truth about prayer, and hopefully to help us in our lives, in our prayer lives. Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful for another day of life, so thankful for your word, so thankful for your son Jesus Christ, who died for our sins according to the scripture, was buried and rose again the third day according to the scripture. Lord, to justify us freely, if we would just believe on him, put our faith in his completed cross work and nothing else, and receive him by faith, Lord, we pray that those who are not saved will hear that message and believe on Christ, receive him by faith as their Savior. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory for what you purchased by his blood, what you have done for us through him, by him, and for him. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. Everyone said amen. So one of the things that I want to look at first off, when we're talking about prayer, I want to tell you what prayer is not, okay? Prayer is not a wish list, okay? It's not a Christmas wish list. Prayer is not negotiation. Prayer is not manipulation. Prayer is not superstition. And it's not a button or a trigger or a string to pull God to get God to do things. Okay, you with me? Now, if we think about where we come from, our prayer lives were pretty much based on a wish list, negotiation, manipulation, superstition, and trying to move God, trying to get God to do something, right? So it's none of those things. What prayer is, however, is communication with our Heavenly Father according to that which is in us, His Word. Okay, that's what prayer really is. It's communicating with God based on God's terms, and that's His Word. What do you have in you? How are you communicating with Him? Are you communicating with Him constantly about your fleshly needs, your fleshly desires? Or are you communicating with Him according to the Word of God? And that's the difference, folks, of what we see in Scripture that people, they lock into because of what they've been taught. They never see prayer for what it really is. Therefore, they never really communicate with God on the basis that they need to communicate with God. What ends up happening, and we'll try to show this at the end, they end up praying for things that God's already done. And it's not right to pray for things that God's already done. It's not right to pray for things that God's already given freely. That's not right. That's why Paul exercises in the Word of God the prayer of thanksgiving. Right? Thanksgiving is being thankful for something you already have, right? And so that whole thing about prayer, and we know where it gets started, and that's where we're going to go look at over here in the Gospel of Matthew 21. We're going to go look and see how this thing gets started. It gets started like all era, right? The lack and the failure to rightly divide the word of truth, to understand where you are in the book and what God has done for you through the program that He gave unto us, delivered unto us through the pen of the Apostle Paul. And we see something different about prayer in Paul's writings than we do back here in Matthew. But go to Matthew 21, and for the sake of time and a lot of reading, we're going to jump down to verse 21. Jesus has just cursed the fig tree. He does that in the presence of His disciples. He curses the fig tree. And in verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, 'Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea,' it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. We know that this is where people get directed, right? And if it's not happening, then there's something wrong with your faith. If it's not happening, you're not close enough to God. Okay? So those things get taught to people. Let me show you something else that gets taught to people. We look at these verses sometime, but we don't look at them all the way out because we try making a different point. Go back to Matthew 10. There's going to be a lot of people that will disagree, but I'm going to tell you this out of these books. These four Gospels, Jesus come confirming the promises made unto the fathers, but Jesus is preaching himself. He is prophesying himself. He's telling of a future time that's coming, okay? Prophetically speaking. The book of Revelation is the culmination of all the prophecies of the Bible. Jesus here in these books, he's speaking of a future time. He's speaking of a future kingdom, and we'll show that. But look down in chapter 10 real quick. He sends the 12 out. Look down in verse 11. And to whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust off your feet. Now watch, he's going to give the time frame for what he is explaining. Watch close. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before the governors and the kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, watch, take no thought how or what you're going to or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. There's people that claim that verse right now. I won't make notes when I preach or teach because I want God to give me what to speak. They believe that God's doing it. You can tell by a lot of them too that they don't use notes. Right? And you can tell also that God ain't giving them what to say. Right? So they live off that verse as if God's doing that today. The Holy Spirit is giving them the words to speak. Can I tell you the words to speak today is in this book. They are spirit and they are life. They are the words of Almighty God. So the word that we have, we take from the canon of the Scripture. We try to break it down, deliver it to people, and show it to people. I am not supernaturally infused. Anybody that's ever heard me teach knows I'm not infused with the words that God is speaking through me, right? I'm speaking the Word of God as it's written, right? If I were getting the supernatural ability to have God to speak through me, the Holy Ghost speaking through me as He did the prophets, as He did Stephen, as He did many, I wouldn't make near as many blunders and mistakes, right? All right, now watch. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of our Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. He just gave you the time frame of what all this is about. He that endureth to the end of what? The end of the tribulation that we talked about this morning. The end of the coming woes that Jesus lays out in the book of Matthew chapter 24, the Olivet Discourse, about the end of all things. That's the time frame that these verses are speaking of. It's a future thing, and then in that future, He's going to supernaturally, by the Holy Spirit, speak through them, right? That they don't have to drum up the words. They don't have to think about what they're going to speak, because He's going to speak through them. There's people right there. They're doing those type things today. Their prayer life comes out of these books as if they can claim those. And what they tell you, when you go to claim them, don't claim little things. Claim big things, right? I heard a preacher one time say that he had stopped and he was out of money. He had stopped into a convenience type store, old country type store. He went in and or he lost his wallet or left his wallet, whatever the case was. But he went in and picked up a few things, put them on the counter, and he couldn't find the wallet, couldn't find the money to pay for it. And the lady says, you're a preacher. And he said, yeah. And she goes, no charge. Go ahead and take it. You're good. So he walked out like $15 worth of whatever. And he goes, man, I should have asked for the whole store. You know, that's the mentality. Don't ask for the potato chips only. Ask for the shelf to go with it, right? That's what you get taught in these places. So then, when you get taught that prayer life and it don't happen, all right, you've got strong issues. A good friend of mine that I heard him talk about this very thing, that he and his father had a conversation because there was something that they were praying for according to these verses, and it never did happen, and it wasn't even resembling that it was going to happen, and it caused them great grief and great problems. Well, let me show you this. In praying the wrong way and not understanding how to pray, there's a bunch of negatives that come out of it. One, it'll come in disappointment. One, you'll become despondent. One, you'll feel dejected. You'll sense despair. You'll sense defeat. And you know what it's about? Delusion, right? Delusion. That is to have an expectation contrary to that which is reality. That's delusion. Who do you think's behind that program? The devil, the god of this world. See, he wants you to become disappointed. He wants you to be despondent. He wants you to be dejected. He wants you in despair. He wants you defeated, and he wants you to be delusional. Those are the things that come out of a bad prayer life. And folks, if we had to touch this thing anywhere in our lives that means the most to us, it would be about the health of a loved one, right? How many? Now, let's just be real. When someone is stricken, and I go back and I think about countless in my mind family members who I've watched on a deathbed, you wanted to pray for that person. You wanted that person to be healed, right? There was time passed when I wanted that person to receive God's healing. You know, the greater matter today, because you've learned the word of truth rightly divided, is are they saved, right? Are they saved? Are they ready? Are they in a position that when they leave that body, they're going to be with the Lord? That's the key today, right? That's the way I see things today. There's nobody in their own body, I don't believe, that if something is given to you, it's a report of doom and gloom in your mind, in your heart. I believe there's a prayer that kicks up into you, and I believe you start to communicate about that thing with the Lord. I really do. Now, I think if we stay with what we know about prayer, the correct prayer, I think God will give us the grace, as we spoke about it this morning, to empower us through whatever it is that we're going through. Okay? So go look at Mark chapter 11 real quick. Mark chapter 11. You know, I feel sorry for people, man. I really do. One made the statement here this morning. I was there as well, right? And you do feel bad for people. You do feel bad for people. And here's the thing, too. A lot of people will make a prayer like this, and, you know, a little something to come together, and they'll call that answered prayer, you know? Well, let me ask you this question. Unanswered prayer. What happens? Do you know that God is way greater than you and I in His ways, in His wisdom, and what we have and what we don't have? Because if we were to get everything that we had prayed for, think about the old adage. What's that old adage? Be careful what you ask for. If we got everything that we asked for, think about where we'd be. We'd be capsized, right? We would be absolutely a hot mess, even if we're here. To learn something about prayer is extremely important. But look here in Mark chapter 11. Look in verse 22. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou moved, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. See, do this study for yourself one day. Take the word whatsoever And study that word out. When you find whatsoever meaning according to the way you pray in your faith, you're not going to find it that way in Paul's writings. Right? Paul's going to say something like, whatsoever state you're in. Right? Here he's saying, whatsoever you ask. You're not going to find that in Paul's writings, whatsoever you ask. Okay? It's not there. Okay? Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you watch, and when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Would you be right today to stand and pray that God would forgive you your trespasses when the Bible is clear that He's already forgiven you your trespasses? You see, there's something different here, right? You see, here there is a forgiveness. If you'll do it, God will do it. That's covenant prayer, right? Not only were they to ask for things, but they were to do accordingly as they were commanded. If you'll do, I'll do, right? And that's what happens with you and I when people teach us the wrong prayer life. They'll say, well, there's something you're not doing, right? Well, there's a lot that I'm not doing, you know? There's a lot that I can't do. I heard Brother Brian Sipes say yesterday, I was watching a short video just to show my wife who Brother Brian was, and he said something about it would be wrong for us to go teach all that Christ did to the body of Christ because we can't do those things anyway, right? And he's right. You see, the division that God made, we need to understand something changed, all right? And there's something changed about this thing in prayer. Prayer is a dispensational matter. And people get despondent, they get discouraged, they get disappointed when things don't happen because they prayed. They prayed that God would do a certain thing, and it didn't come to pass. And some people quit over it. Some people, they just lose all hope, they lose all faith. If God, and I know of a young man that used to work for me, his child died, and he's now a full-blown atheist. He said, because if God was God, He'd have done something for my child. See? It overthrew his faith completely. He says, away with God. I don't want nothing to do with God. I pray that He would keep my child alive. He didn't keep my child alive, so there can't be a God. No, there's very much a God. He's very much alive. He's just not responding to the things that we pray outside of the realm in which we should pray. Amen? And that's the issue, folks. It's a major issue, too, by the way. I know that, and I'll go ahead and lay this out, I know that before the election and all that, all these preachers and pastors and all this stuff, they went up to Capitol Hill, they got out there, they joined arms, they joined hands, and they were all praying a certain way. Well, you know what didn't happen? Their guy didn't get in office. Call it what you will, they all prayed, right? They were all praying about these things in the earth that they wanted to see happen, and guess what? It didn't happen. So I guess all those preachers, pastors, and teachers, something was wrong with their faith, right? Or are they praying about something that God said, whatever, maybe, right? So you've got to understand, prayer is important. Prayer life is important, but the right way to pray is important. You with me? All right, so there's things there you need to see. Now, you see how he told them there to forgive so that their trespasses would be forgiven. You all know it, but look at Ephesians 4. Look at Ephesians 4. There's more of those passages back there in the Gospels, by the way. Believe and receive, all that stuff. There's coming a time for Israel that the kingdom, hope, and glory through the tribulation period, all the things that God's going to have to do through that remnant group, they're going to have some supernatural powers. We saw the precursor of that in Acts chapter 2. By the way, that was the church that was to enter in through the tribulation. That wasn't the church, the body of Christ. We talked about that this morning. That was the church from Jerusalem. That was the little flock. That was the remnant group that was going to get God's power to get them through the tribulation, to get them through to the end. Amen? The end of life or the end of the tribulation, one way or the other. Okay? All right? That's not the church, the body of Christ. All right? Church, the body of Christ does not have supernatural powers today. The Holy Ghost has not given us the words to speak. The Holy Ghost inspired a book called the Bible, the King James Bible, the perfect, inerrant Word of God. We should study it to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth, and we should teach from it the words of God. Amen? You with me? That's what we ought to be doing. And so many people want to come up with some supernatural thing because supernatural things are in the Word of God. They're biblical. They're not dispensational. That prayer back there is biblical, but it's not dispensational. You know, it is in its context. We know that. We understand it is, but so many people want to go back and claim those promises unto them. Right? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Nothing about enduring to the end right there. He said you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake, what? Hath, past tense, forgiven you. It's done. He's already forgiven you. So when you pray, you don't have to pray that God would forgive you because He's already forgiven you. He just tells you how to respond because you have been forgiven. Amen? He said nothing about you not getting your sins forgiven, your trespasses forgiven, any of that. He said it's already done. It's a done deal. Amen? We're not under a covenant, if you'll do this, I'll do that. We're not under a contract, when you do good, I'll do good unto you. When you do bad, I'll curse you. We're not under that. Christ became a curse for us, right? Galatians 3:13. We're not under that program. We're not under the prayer program that He gave in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go back and look at Matthew chapter 6 real quick. I heard one of the world's great popular pastors preach on this and break this down for the body of Christ. Watch closely. Jesus is speaking to His disciples in chapter 6. Let's go back up to verse 6. I wasn't going to do that, but let's do this. Actually, go to verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet, thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions. Now that's done commonly through people who pray like that. Vain repetitions. As the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. The more of us that speak, the longer we speak, the more God's going to move, right? You ever heard anybody say that? Well, we're going to pray for brother so-and-so. Could a bunch of y'all come over here and let's pray for brother so-and-so? Well, you know, much speaking, more people is going to get God to do more stuff. That's ludicrous. You're just not understanding the Word of God. Now watch. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. After this manner, therefore pray ye. Now this has been thrown on the body of Christ from every sect that's out there, almost everyone. You name a denomination and they use this prayer. And they call it what? The Lord's Prayer. The Lord didn't pray this prayer. He told the disciples to pray this way. Right? If you want the Lord's Prayer, go to John chapter 17. If you want the Lord and Him praying. But watch what He says to him. He says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, was He your Father in heaven? No, you were still without hope. You were still without promise. You were still alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Were you not? All right. So He says here, Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, it's an earthly program, don't you? Right? You see, it's about an earthly people, don't you? This is how He's telling them to pray. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And then you know how they handle that. Well, these are the closeness type trespasses that he's talking about. These are the ones that keep you from the fellowship of God. He's not talking about your sins as far as this, this, and this. He's talking about your sins as being... Give me a break, man. He says, if you don't forgive, you're not getting forgiven. That's what he says. I don't need the Greek to figure that out. Okay? This is what he's speaking of here. He is speaking of that prayer life under that covenant. We don't have such a covenant. Okay? All right? So we see the fallacy of that type of prayer. We see what it genders. Disappointment. You become despondent, dejected, despair, defeat, delusional. You think God's going to do something that he's not doing today, right? Folks, when I say something like that, can I tell you that God's big enough to do whatever God wants to do, right? And I'm going to quote one brother. It says, and you're not big enough and never have been a day in your life to pray hard enough, long enough to get him to do something that he's not doing, right? So wouldn't it be good if you knew what God really was doing? Wouldn't it be good if you knew really how to pray? Well, let's go and see if we can find out how we should pray. A little bit of that. All right, so go with me over to the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians. Some common stuff here about prayer. We see prayer differently. Anybody remember Paul praying to the Lord three times to ask God he remove the thorn from his flesh? Yeah. But what did he tell him? That his grace was sufficient. Right? Paul learned that, wait a minute, not only I couldn't heal myself, I couldn't call Timothy, Titus, and Barnabas and say, hey boys, let's have a prayer meeting, y'all anoint me with oil and heal me. He knew that. He learned, right? He left one back sick, tells Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach's sake. Why didn't he just heal Timothy? Something changed in that process of time. Something changed during that transition of Paul first receiving revelation and such, didn't it? Early part of the body of Christ, you've got healings, you still got miracles going on, you still got tongues going on, you've got all that stuff going on. And then that stuff begins to diminish, right? And the body of Christ today is under none of that. It doesn't matter how much they practice it out of their flesh. It don't make you part of it, right? So what's here in Philippians in chapter 4? Look down in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Now watch. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Does he say in that verse, for everything or in everything? He says in everything. Right? You won't understand 4 and 11 over here unless you understand 4 and 6. Now look over at 4 and 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever. Notice the whatsoever here in Paul's writings. Paul doesn't say, whatsoever I should ask, I'm going to get, because we know he didn't. Right? He petitioned the Lord that he remove the thorn from his flesh, but the Lord said no to it. Unanswered prayer, Paul, it ain't happening. My grace is sufficient, right? So watch what he says here. Not that I speak in respect to want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. What does he say? In whatsoever, not for whatsoever, but in whatsoever state. Go back and look at 4 and 6, and he says, but in everything. So Paul says, in every state, make your request known. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to make your request known unto God. Just understand how to do it by the Word of God, dispensationally, prayer life, speaking is what we're talking about. All right? So, you know, go out, Lord, I'd love to have 4 more acres of this property because I could build me a garage over here, and I'm expecting to see that happen next week. You see, Paul, see, this is the baby stuff that people have been raised on, man. They want a magical God doing things, waving a magical wand for them over this prayer life that they've been taught in their synagogues. That's what they want. And when it don't happen, they get discouraged. What? Well, what happened to poor old brother so-and-so that God didn't heal? God didn't heal him. Well, I lived my life believing God would. That'll discourage you. That'll disappoint you. Understand that in this dispensation, we don't have a guarantee that any of us are going to get healed if we get sick. We don't have the guarantee we're going to make it home today. And God's protecting us. You never heard such? Well, I wrecked and turned my car over and the angel of the Lord was with me. Well, I'd have got him to not turn the car over. Right? How about keep it on its wheels, man? Why didn't you turn it over on its roof and the gas is leaking out and we got out just in time? You know? Why wouldn't the angel of the Lord just say, hey, slow down so we don't turn this thing over? You see, all that stuff, see, it's about angels, it's about mystical prayer life, it's what they get taught. They get the stuff from the Bible. That's the scary part of it. One brother preached the message, the most dangerous doctrine in all the world is Bible doctrine that's not rightly divided. It's not dispensational, right? That's how people have all the denominations that we talked about this morning. That's how people have all these erroneous prayers that they think are they're going to move God because they pray long and they pray hard and they pray much. One brother said, pray until God says yes, pray until God says no, or pray until God just waits. That's what they're taught. Folks, that didn't come from a yo-yo. That come from a guy with 20,000 people in his church. That come from a guy highly esteemed. Right? That's how he tells them to pray. But hold on with prayer and just keep on begging and asking God, and one day God's going to get up and say, okay, I've had enough. Here. Yeah, go away. Get your car and go. Right? Here's your new house. Go on. That's how ludicrous that thing is. I'll tell you how you get a house in this life. Go to work. Go in debt. Forgive us, Lord, our debts. Right? And pay for it. That's how you get one. Right? It's the stuff we hear. And you know, you feel sad for them. You feel sad for them. I do. Look over in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. We're going to touch some stuff that I think is extremely important about prayer. It's not the first time we've ever dealt with prayer in here and talking about prayer and prayer life and the importance of prayer. But man, let me ask you something, and you just put this in the natural. You've got a couple kids or three kids or one kid or four kids. When that child comes to you and he's constantly just always wanting, and really about the only time you ever really have communication from him is when he says, Dad, I need something. Dad, I need something. Dad, I need something. Dad, I need something. That gets a little old, don't it? What about that child that says, thanks, Dad. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Mom, that you got me to the place I can go do for myself. Thank you. Thank you. I love you. I appreciate what you put in me. I thank you for what you taught me. Folks, in the spiritual, that ought to be our prayer life. Thank you, Lord. Not every time we go, we pull our list out and say, all right, God, let's start up here at number one. I need this. I need this. I need this. And I need this. I need this. And God's saying, most of them I've already given you anyway. Why don't you just go study? Why don't you just learn what I've done? Right? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at 15. 5 and 15, 1 Thessalonians. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to do all. Unto all men, rejoice evermore. Watch, pray without ceasing. And that tells me that you can pray without closing your eyes. If you're driving, practice praying without closing your eyes. I think there's a lot of people praying without ceasing today, and they got their eyes closed while they're driving. I bumped into one this morning, right? In everything, give thanks. For this is the, watch, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Right? Amazing, verse 19 says, quench not the Spirit. I wonder what would throw a wet blanket on the Spirit. Somebody that calls himself a Christian. Lord, would you please, would you please, would you please? Would you please forgive me of my sin? The Spirit's like, hadn't you read? You hadn't read Ephesians 4? You hadn't read Colossians 2? All that's been done? What are you here begging God to do something he's already done? I mean, I just see it as quenching the Spirit. Right? It's not being thankful. You know the problem with our society? Unthankful, ungrateful people, man.
Selfish.
Right? You want to find a trouble in a church? Unthankful people. Find trouble in your home, in your house? Unthankful people. Living out of their carnal flesh, wanting to heap everything up on them. Right? That's how you get trouble, man. And we're all guilty from time to time. Right? I mean, here it is. Paul said, in everything. Did he say for everything? In everything. I went to churches where it almost made you feel like you ought to praise God because you got a bad disease. You ought to praise God for that. What? They just told me I'm sick and I'm going to praise. No, I'm going to praise God in it. He said, in everything. You see that gift, Thanksgiving. In everything. Did you know that when we have the right mind, the mind of Christ, in everything, we can give God glory. We can praise Him. We can thank Him. Right? If you look around long enough, you'll find somebody's got things way worse than you do. But in everything, we have that ability. Look back at 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. We're not much longer. We're going to see a few more verses and then we'll close this thing down. I just love the practical part of this. This is one of those teachings where you could just be practical because the Word of God is so clear about what our heart should be in prayer. Our hearts in prayer, the first thing in prayer ought to be, thank you.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
It should very well be, the very first thing we say is thank you. Yep. Do you start your day out with the Lord that way? Thank you, dear God. Thank you for your salvation, man. That's the very first thing. Look, folks, I'm not trying to draw a light. I'm the model by no means, but I'm just telling you what I do, right? I thank the Lord every morning that Jesus Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and He rose again the third day. I have nothing without it, right? I have no hope without Him. My hope is in Christ. I'm thankful for that every day of my life. I don't need to sit around a table and say, this is my communion in the Lord's body. I thank Him for that body every single day. And anybody who wants to do that, do that. But man, my thankfulness every day is in the body of Christ about what He had done for us, accomplished for us on Calvary. I thank Him every day for that. That's part of my prayer life, man. Every day to be thankful, grateful, praying without ceasing. How do you do it? Pray. You don't have to kneel to pray. You can. You don't have to, but you can. Look at 4:15 and 18 here. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You see that? Paul was saying, what you're going through right now, it doesn't compare to what's going to come out of this thing, man. It's way more greater what we're doing here this morning and what the world's engaged in, man. It's the weight of glory that's going to be a payoff one day, and not that we're looking for payment. We're not that type of people. We've got God's grace. But there's coming a day, man, where we have spread this message and others have come to the knowledge of the truth. Others have been saved by the message we're delivering. There's something that's a way more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. You understand? We're not working for the temporal. We're working for that thing that is permanent and eternal. Right? What a way, man, to think about things. It's the prayer life that we should have. We should be praying for opportunity. Didn't Paul pray for opportunity? When he requests prayer, he said, pray that we might have a door of utterance. That we might do what? Show the mystery of the gospel. Teach the mystery of Christ. Paul wasn't saying, pray that we get a new horse. Right? He was praying that he would have an opportunity, man. And that's what we ought to be praying is for opportunity. Right? That's a different prayer life. Most people's just in it for themselves.
Yeah.
Heap it up on my flesh. Look at 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not are what? They're eternal. Which way should you be praying, man? For eternal things, right? Set your affections on the things which are above. We find that hard to do in this carnal life, don't we? Right? Go back over and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Chapter 9. Just the practical type message that people are so confused about prayer that it affects the other parts of their life. And I'm going to say something, man. I believe in prayer. Listen, obviously I believe in prayer. I pray before I start. I pray when I end. I believe in prayer. But some people, listen to what I'm saying here, they've got their minds so wrapped up on prayer that they don't care to study. God's going to do it for me. Have you met those people? I'm not going to get in the Word. I'm not going to study the Word. I'm not going to read the Word. But boy, when I need something, I'm going to pray to the God that I know. Well, you're not going to know the God of this book unless you get into His Word. You're going to gain a knowledge through the Word of God. When you gain that knowledge through the Word of God and you make the divisions where God made the divisions, you adhere to them, now that which was in you, you can communicate with your Father. Right? So some people are taught just to pray, because they go right back to where we started in those Gospels. Whatever you ask, you're going to receive it in faith believing. Well, that's, folks, that's an easy road there, isn't it? God says, whatever, here you go. They don't ever look at the context of those verses. They don't look at that being future. They don't look at that being something supernatural God's going to do through Israel and that remnant group in the future. They look at that and apply it to the church, the body of Christ, right now. Right? And Paul here is giving us a way that we can pray. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplied the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanks unto God. While by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for our liberal distribution unto them and to all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Now listen, there in chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, it is a place of giving. He is talking about how we are to give. Let every man, according as his purpose in his heart, let him also give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. He's talking about giving there. He's talking about receiving there. He's talking about distribution there, right? But we're talking about things that are done through us by the grace of God, by the love of Christ that constraineth us. We're not talking about a show of our flesh, how much I can do. I've got more than you, so I'll do this to bring a light on me. It's none of that business, right? It's by the grace of God. And we're talking about the things that are being distributed to the body of Christ. Folks, that don't have to be carnal things. It can be spiritual things. It can be both. It can be the things for the body. It could be food that you help somebody with. There's nothing wrong with that. You with me? But don't think you're getting closer to God because you do it. You're bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Look over in Colossians chapter 4. And we're coming down a home stretch here. Colossians chapter 4. And we're going to see Paul instructs the Colossians to do something. Watch here in 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with what? Thanksgiving. Now watch Paul. Withal praying also for us. He's requesting prayer. That God would open to us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am what? In bonds. So Paul says, you pray, you watch, as you're praying, do me a favor. Pray for us as well. What's he praying for? An opportunity. You see that? He's instructing them to pray that they would have an opportunity to speak what? The mystery of Christ. That's important, isn't it? If Paul is saying, pray for me that I have a chance to go speak about the mystery of Christ, that means there's a mystery of Christ. How many people know that in church world? No. Mystery of Christ. They have no clue what you're talking about. They've missed the mystery. They've also missed the right prayer life. All right? They're praying for things to heap up on their own flesh. All right? And Philemon. I ain't going to say what chapter because there's only one. Look at verse 3 when you turn there. Philemon 3. And then we're going to break down Ephesians 3, a few verses, and look at that. But Philemon 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. See that? Paul's praying for somebody. That's a good thing to do, man. Instead of getting fixated on yourself, pray for somebody else. Amen. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual in the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. There's no commendation of man outside of Christ Jesus. Have you ever noticed that? Outside of Christ Jesus, you go back to Romans, he says there's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. In Christ Jesus, it's about all the good things that we have in Christ Jesus, right? And we ought to pray according to that which is in us. If you got little word in you, your prayer life's going to sound like a baby, right? The more word you have in you, the more powerful communication you can have with your Father which is in heaven. You with me? Having Christ formed in you, understanding to pray like an adult. You know, babies do what? They beg for things, right? We watched a little dog yesterday where we were at, and he begging, man. People, they're eating, and he begging, you know. I think about Christian folks sometimes like that. They're not comparing them to dogs, but babies. And they beg. They're constantly begging for something. Instead of being thankful and grateful for what God's already done, they don't know what God's done. They think God's still looking after this flesh, right? They think God's concerned about the flesh, and he's concerned about your inner man. And we're going to show that. Go up to Ephesians 3 real quick. And we're going to finish off this morning in Ephesians, and I promise. I didn't promise we was going to finish in Ephesians 3, but we're going to finish in Ephesians. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. I might have just told a fib. We might finish in Romans. But Romans 8. Look in verse 13, 3 and 13. Watch this. Y'all just stay with me to the end of this chapter and see how powerful this really is. Watch. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Watch. And to know the love of Christ with passive knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh where? In us. Where's the power going to come from, folks? Mystical. God's going to open up our head and pour it in like Kool-Aid. It comes from the Word of God. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Word of God. It's the power of God. Right? Paul said that the gospel was the power of God and the salvation to all that believe. You know where you get the gospel from? God's Word. Right? Not man-made gospels. God's Word. Here it is, the power of God that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages without end. Amen. Look at those verses real quick. In 16, he said, according to the riches of his grace. Look in, he said that they be strengthened. You see that? That they be strengthened. Where at? By his Spirit in inner man. The Word. The Word. Feeding that inner man. It's not mystical. God's not dealing with some force and says, here's the Spirit to build you up. Here's the Word. Get in it and get built up. That's why we teach, man, to build up the body of Christ and to exalt and glorify the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who gave us unto us. You see, there's a different prayer life. See, what Paul is praying is not that they get a new Cadillac, not that they have a chicken in the pot, not that they get a new suit to wear to Easter service. He's praying that they be strengthened by the inner man, by the Spirit in the inner man. He's praying to be rooted and that they be grounded, that Christ would dwell in their heart by faith. You know how many Christians today don't have Christ dwell in their heart by faith? I know the Spirit of God lives in us. Don't get me wrong. I know Christ is in us, but they don't have the faith of Christ in their heart. They're putting him off. Right? They don't care nothing about the Word. They don't care about going to hear the Word. And some of them are going and not getting the Word. And some of them are saved. All right? And look, to be rooted and grounded in love. What? You want someone 18 to comprehend some things. Look here. They may be able to comprehend. Comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. It's amazing what the Word of God is. It's amazing. Look down at 19. They know the love of Christ. See that? See, people talk about the love for Christ, but they don't understand the love of Christ. People talk about faith in Christ, but they don't understand the faith of Christ. Paul's praying that they would be able to comprehend. What a prayer, man. Here's a man that he understands the love of Christ. A murderer, a blasphemer. He understands the faith of Christ. He understood by revelation what he wasn't and now what he was in Christ. And then look verse 19. That they might be filled with all fullness of God. Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Even what you can put in your carnal mind to even ask, he can do abundantly above all that. And has, by the way. Right? According to the power that worketh in us. The Word of God that work in you. Do you realize what God can actually do through you? You ever stop to think about that? What he could actually do through you if you come into the place of understanding who you are in Christ and what it is that God has called you into, and you yield your members to members of righteousness. There's some stuff he can get done through you. In finishing this morning, I'm going to show you some things that's not good to pray for. As a believer this morning, I'm going to show you some things you should not pray for. You should not be praying to be chosen in Christ, because he's already done that. Ephesians chapter 1. Also, you need to understand that your blessings are spiritual. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You should be thankful for your blessings, your spiritual blessings in heavenly places. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, you shouldn't be praying to be chosen in Christ. You already. You shouldn't be praying to be adopted or predestined. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure which is his will. Already done. To the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted. You should not be praying to be accepted of God. You're already accepted in Christ Jesus. That is done. Don't pray it. Acknowledge it. Take hold of it, spiritually speaking. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. We shouldn't be praying for God's will. It's already in the Word of God. Even the mystery of his will is already in the Word of God. And he's also said that his will is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And we're out here praying, trying to figure out what the will of God is for our lives. And finishing here. In whom we have obtained an inheritance. You shouldn't be praying for an inheritance. Predestined according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted Christ, in whom you have trusted after that you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom after that you have believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We shouldn't be praying that God would not let us die and go to hell, because we've already believed and we've already been sealed. Amen? You're sealed. Believe it. What do we say the issue with man outside of his carnality is? His carnal mind will not believe God's word. Right? So he's always doing the opposite of what God's doing. Throughout the Bible, there's always a dispensation behind, are they not? God puts grace over here, they're going to go to law. God puts law over here, they want to go back to Egypt, which is a picture of sin. The whole Bible's that way. Look at Romans chapter 8 in the last verses, and I'm done. I promise this time. I like the way they jump right to 8:28 a lot of times. I do believe in the powers of 8, by the way, in the book of Romans, 8 and 8, 8 and 18, 8 and 28, 8 and 38. I love those verses that way, if you ever study them that way, 8 and 8, 8 and 18, 8 and 28, 8 and 38. Go look at them for yourself together. They come down here and they say, and we know that all things work together to good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Amen. But I don't think you really get a hold of that until you get a hold of 8 and 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray Could they have said that in Matthew chapter 6? They wouldn't know what to pray. What did he tell them? When you pray, pray like this. Over here, Paul says, hey, we don't even know what to pray. Right? Yeah, you think about it. Do you see the dichotomy? Do you see the difference? One group are told what to pray. This verse says, we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Can I tell you that when the Spirit prays, when He takes over the intercession for you, He's not going to pray outside of God's will for you. Right? He's not going to pray in anything except for the according of what God's doing for you. You know where, you know, you're better off if He's doing the praying. Because a lot of times, man, we're going to pray not according to what God is doing. And the Spirit is not going to do that. And then He can sit down here and say, and he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There you go. Then watch 28 come to life. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So the Spirit is making sure that the prayer is right according to the heart and that He is searching. And then when you're wrong and don't know what to do, He says, get out of the way. Now, they ain't talking about a mystical prayer language. Paul said he would desire that he pray with understanding, not without understanding. Not gibberish that not even Paul understood, and likely God wouldn't either. He wanted to pray with understanding, right? You see, the prayer life is something that's great, it's needed, it's important, but it's also something that is not just biblical, it's dispensational. You with me? All right, let us pray this morning. Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for Your love, Your grace, and Your mercy. Thank You for another opportunity to come and fellowship over the Word. Thank You for the Word of God, rightly divided. Thank You for all that teach it that way. We love You and thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, was buried, raised again the third day for our justification. We give You all the praise, thanks, honor, and glory. And everyone did say, Amen. Amen.